Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 8th chapter. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow." This is our text. Wherever Jesus goes, he's met by huge crowds. There are so many ears that hear what Jesus says. Even in our day, Even in a world that we may think is growing less Christian, most people have heard something. Jesus isn't a total stranger, and his words aren't entirely foreign. So the question today is, what happens when the word that Jesus preaches is sent out? How does that word take root, grow in the places where he plants it? How does it bear good fruit? The answer, it seems, is that it doesn't, or at least not very well. In his day, it was kind of the same. Consider two examples of how people in his day received his word. First, there are the Pharisees. The Pharisees clearly heard Jesus' words. They grabbed a hold of them and wanted to use his words however they could against him, to discredit him. They even claimed that his power came from the devil. So there's a hearing of the word, but certainly no growth and no fruit that's born. The second example are Jesus' mother and brothers. They also certainly heard his teaching, but they seem to care far more about their blood relationship with Jesus than about his words. Not everyone who hears believes. Some do, many don't. But why don't they believe? How can we understand unbelief? Well, let's listen to what Jesus says. Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow." And that's good. It's exactly how it should be. There's something wrong with a farmer who never plants, or a teacher who never teaches, or a Christian who never hears the word. My guess is you would hardly call such a person a farmer or a gardener. In the beginning, God made man, human beings, male and female, and he set them in a garden. I think that's significant. He set man and woman, Adam and Eve, over his creation, and he assigned them the work of caring for it. And what is a garden except a place for things to grow? To cultivate plants and to tend them and to see them bear fruit, each after its own kind. So the sower sows and the seed grows. But of course, in Eden, God's desire wasn't just for plants to grow in that garden. He wanted a garden full of people, a harvest of souls. "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth," the Lord told Adam and Eve. But back to the parable. A sower went out to sow. But as Jesus tells the parable, it seems kind of strange, because as the sower sowed, some seeds fell along the path and the birds came and devoured them. And where'd they come from, these birds, you ask? And why are they eating all this seed? And what's the sower doing, sowing his seed so recklessly? Whatever happened to planting nice, neat rows, the field all clean and tidy? Why, this sower just seems to be wasting his seed. He should have planned better, and he certainly shouldn't be throwing any of his seed over there on the path. It can't possibly grow in that place. And still, a sower went out to sow. And other seed fell on rocky ground, which is about all we've got here in Massachusetts. I guess there are maybe a few, like, river valleys that are nice and productive. But no wonder farmers from Massachusetts moved west when they had the chance, away from the rocky soil to the greener pastures of the Midwest where stuff grows. But this sower didn't move. He doesn't run from the rocks. He throws his seed and he lets it fall there. But on that rocky ground, they didn't have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. It took root, but so shallowly that it didn't last. When the heat came, they just melted and withered away, because they had no root. And still, a sower went out to sow. He's not discouraged. He's not giving up, still scattering seed, let it fall where it will. He's got plenty of it. A regular old Johnny Appleseed here, planting wherever he goes, only this guy's a Christian, and he'll never run short of seed. He's got that bag of endless supply seed, so he just kind of keeps on sowing. He throws caution to the wind and throws a few seeds into it as well. And other seed fell among thorns. There sure are a lot of those around, aren't there? And the thorns grew up and choked them. Those tender little plants didn't stand a chance with that competition around. And still, a sower went out to sow. And I know what you're saying. Sower, why bother? Give up already. You'll never make a good farmer. Why don't you try the tech industry or maybe the medical field? Lots of jobs there. Because this garden of yours ain't growing. No crop from this cursed land. Or maybe you should just try growing weeds and thorns. Because that's all you're going to get, guy. But he keeps going. And other seed fell on good soil. Now there's a shock. And the seed did what seed's supposed to do. It produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if this were about gardening, it would be like a Gardening for Dummies 101 class. Don't plant on the roads or on top of rocks or in the middle of weeds. Go take a Master Gardener course or maybe one of ML's courses here in Westminster and use the good soil, for crying out loud. But of course, it's not actually about gardening at all. Just listen to the sower explain himself. Hear the parable of the sower. I thought we just did. Well, hear it again, he says, with different ears. And remember, he never gets tired of sowing the seed, the same seed over and over and over again. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, when he doesn't believe or even take it seriously, when he laughs at it and mocks it and blows it off, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. So if you want to know why some don't believe, look no further than the devil. He got into the garden early and he snatched the seed away from Adam and Eve. He took it right out of their ears. He robbed them blind and he left them like a dry, dusty, dead path, fruitless, barren, and unproductive. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, endures just for a little while, not to the end. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Reminds me of ancient Israel, which the Lord planted in another garden, planted in that fruitful promised land. And Israel, they were so filled with enthusiasm when God first came to them with his word and promises. They said, "We'll do everything that you say." Only it got hard. They got hungry. They got thirsty. They encountered enemies. And when they met hardship, when they were stopped by obstacles, when they were overcome by need, they just withered away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Here the seed grew. It really did. It put down roots, and it reached branches up. It took the word in, sprouted and shot up. But then it looked around, and it forgot who it was, forgot whose it was. It became distracted by thorns and by thistles and by things that pierce. Let's call these what they are, by the lusts of the heart and the desire for material gain and riches and the pleasures of this life, by other pursuits, more important things. And these seeds couldn't produce any fruit. As for what was sown on good soil, I'll tell you, I almost forgot there was good soil. This is the one who hears the word and understands it. Understands? That doesn't mean that he gets every single passage of the word. Doesn't mean that everything is perfectly clear, but he gets what it's about. That the seed is Christ and that it needs Christ. That this parable is about him, every word of it. And he indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. And he keeps on producing. continues to be productive, not just for a single season, but right up until the final harvest. This is why some who've heard haven't believed, and why others who heard believed only for a short time before they withered, and why some grew up but never produced the fruits that are expected, and why others, well, it's not about them, why other seed, all by grace, actually does find some good soil and grows. But the thing to remember in this parable is that the sower keeps on sowing. He doesn't give up easily. He doesn't quit. He went out to sow, and he's still flinging that seed around, still flinging it recklessly, carelessly, path, rock, weeds. He wants it to land everywhere. And this sower casts the seed in the hope and confidence that God's word doesn't return empty, but accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. So what about right now? What about you? What about me? What kind of soil are we? Or maybe we should just simply ask, where's that hard-packed path in your life? That ground where the seed landed but hasn't germinated, and where the devil comes and just snatches it up? Or where are the rocks? The places in your life where the word dies out because you can't take the heat in post-Christian New England? And where is your weedy, thorny ground? Those lusts and desires and distractions that are choking out what God has planted. Because I can tell you right now, I'm all kinds of soil. This parable is about me, about us. There's more than a little unbelief in each one of us. But it's not the unbelief that's surprising. That's natural. That's the state of the world. The state into which we are born is a state of unbelief. What's most surprising about this parable is not that some don't believe, but that any do. It's the faith that's surprising. Surprising that the word ever takes root and grows anywhere, including in any corners of our lives. But it does. Because a sower went out to sow, and he kept on sowing day after day, casting his word out there week after week, Sunday after Sunday. That's what he's doing. And at this very moment, that sower is at work. Not only at work sowing the seed, but also at work rototilling the path and removing the rocks and pulling out the thorns and the weeds so that the gospel lands on good soil. How does this word produce fruit? It produces fruit because Jesus isn't only the sower, he's also the seed. Jesus is the seed that was pecked at and attacked by the devil. He's the seed that suffered on the rocks and endured the heat of persecution. He's the seed pierced by thorns as well as by lashes and by nails. And like a seed, alone, his life in dormancy, he fell into the ground, dead. His body was planted in a tomb. But you remember where that tomb was. That tomb was in a garden. And on the third day, in that good soil, he rose from the dead, alive, a green shoot that lives forever and bears much fruit, bears fruit even in us. You see, from this parable, we see that despite the devil, despite the world, despite our sinful nature, Jesus, the sower and the seed, bears much fruit. So, dear Christian, don't lose heart when you run into unbelief, unbelief in yourself or in the world. Let the sower sow his seed, sow his word, sow himself. And you know just as well as I do that there's no way we can produce any good fruit in ourselves or in others. But he can, and he has, and he does, and he will. There will be a harvest, dear Christians, and it will be glorious. So here's how we live in this parable. We pray. Pray for this good fruit in your life in the lives of your loved ones and in our world. Pray for the seed not only to take root and grow, but to bear abundant fruit. Pray that God's name would be kept holy among us. Pray for his kingdom to come into our lives as well. Pray for his will to be done among us. Pray that he would deliver us from the evil one and from persecution and suffering that we might endure. And pray that he would rescue us from the deceitfulness of this world with its riches and desires. And remember, as you go, that the sower went out to sow, and he still sows. So let the seed fly wherever you go. Proclaim Christ and his word, and let him do his work. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and in peace. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity. Especially we pray for Destiny Stock, Nancy Kengis, Kertu Maki, Bud Meyer, Charlie and Phyllis Morris, Phyllis Moss, Lindsay Norton, Barbara Palamaki, Alicia Reinhart, Phil Roberts, and Gregory Sari, and expectant mothers, Cara, Tiffany, Kelsey, Stephanie, and Rachel. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul, Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, and from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Keep in safety Anne Bennett and all who travel. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Take drink, true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins.
Take ye the body of Christ, given unto death.
Take drink, the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins.
Take ye the body of Christ, given unto death.
Take drink, one of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins.
blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you.
Body and soul to life everlasting, depart in peace. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.